Good morning again. I want to go ahead and dive into part two of something I started last week. If you weren't here last week, started a series, just a two-part series called Meant for Good. You can, if you wanted to watch that, you can see it on YouTube or through our Facebook. All of our videos are stored there. All of our messages. We also have our podcasts that are available. You can download them. It's easy. People are streaming around the world here or in several different places. And so you can pick that up there. But I want to continue with some of what I shared last week with that type of a theme. You know, I remember, I was just thinking right before I came up here, I remember being, when I lived in Asia, I had a group of four people that stayed with me for a little while. Now, they had been in India for 6 months, and they were part of a mission group, and they were staying with people in their little huts wherever throughout India, and none of them had had a shower in 6 months. So they came into my house, and I had this house. The government was paying for everything for me. I had a nice place. I was working at the U.S. Embassy. I showed the two girls and two guys, and I showed the girls their room and their bathroom, which was attached. They held one another, and they cried before they ever went in the bathroom. They just cried, thinking about warm water. And there is something, you know, if you've been, sometimes I've hunted or anything and been out camping for several days, you come back and get a shower, there's nothing quite like that, thank you, God, for a shower, for a cleansing, you know. And sometimes, just as the natural person needs a shower and needs cleanse, the internal man, the internal person, the spirit of us, our soul, needs that cleansing. The blood of Jesus does that. But sometimes we need to have that shower, that cleansing of us that is forgiveness, where we stay in a state of being washed and make sure that there's nothing that sticks in there of bitterness or unforgiveness. And so you could be saying, you know, Matt, you're talking about forgiveness and we know all this stuff. Why are you using 2 weeks to talk about this? It's because we all need it. We all need it. I need it. I need a reminder. I like the shower. I like getting clean and standing in that warm water. And same with being freed of things maybe we didn't even realize that we had going on. So this is one of the reasons why I want to talk about this. Is one of the more important things as a believer on this planet through this life is what we're talking about these last 2 weeks. Forgiveness. We talked about Joseph and all that had been done to him throughout a 13-year period that was a lot more done than most would happen, will happen to us, levels of being a slave, sold by his own family into slavery, being mistreated, falsely accused, thrown in prison, sold again, all those kind of things that went through his life. But all of it, he said himself, that though really the enemy meant it for evil through his brothers, God meant it for good. He meant it for good. God was at work behind the scenes through every mistreatment that Joseph went through. God had a plan to release salvation and help to a nation through the difficulties, the hardships, the offenses, the mistreatment that Joseph endured. God was meaning for something to happen that was really good. And so Joseph was able to get a hold of those lenses and be able to see it the right way so that he could forgive. Not just forgive, but he told his brothers not even to be angry with themselves. That's another level of forgiveness. When the person who harms you, you don't even want them to be angry with themselves for what they've done. That's another level. And that's the kind of level that you and I are supposed to be living in and walking in, that we get to live in. That is what will set us apart from the rest of the world for sure. The way that we forgive, the way that we don't fight back, strike back, hurt someone who's hurt me, or just let it stay in there, which is more what I want to talk about today. Because of what God has done for us through Jesus, we have the ability to not only trust him with our lives here, but to trust him with the justice that we need, or that we maybe deserve in some ways, other ways we don't. But to trust him with that, to be our defense. I remember one time the Lord spoke to me internally And he said this to me, Matt, if you are gonna defend yourself, that's all you've got. But if you'll trust your defense to me, I will defend you. That's a much better way to go. If you defend yourself, that's all you got. He was inviting me to trust him with the false accusation. And instead of getting angry and making sure that they understood that I wasn't the one that did that, he was saying, would you trust me with that? I'm your defense. It says that in the word. He's our defense. He's our defender. There are people who spend their whole lives clamoring for justice for themselves, which is taking away some of what God wants to do for us. And we can misuse some of what he's given us to do here by doing that. You know this story. We all know this story. This is part of our story of getting free, getting whole, seeing what Jesus has done for us. But those moments when Jesus was hanging on a cross, what had been done to him up to that point, if you watch The Passion, I thought Mel Gibson did an amazing job with that movie in depicting portions of what Jesus went through. It will undo you. Every time I watch it, I was a mess. The first, especially in the theater, when I watched it, I saw elements of what Jesus went through. After going through all that, and then his own guys that he's been building into and sowing into for 3 years, and they leave him when he needed them the most. It was like every level, he's being mistreated. The people who he was healing one day are yelling, crucify the next. Those levels of offense can go so deep. And then they're crucifying, sticking nails, pounding nails through his wrists, through his legs. All that they did to his head, his beard plucked out, the scourging, all of those things that he went through. He's hanging on a cross. And it's so important to understand context when we read a scripture to see that this is what has happened that led up to this point. I want to read you this, or we can read it together. Matthew 27, verse 33 and 34 says, and when they had come to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they gave him wine to drink mingled with gall. And after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. Now, if you look up that word gall, it means poison, venom of serpents. In the Webster's, it means bile or the bitter greenish fluid secreted by the liver and stored in the gallbladder. It's extremely bitter and distasteful. Gall speaks of bitterness. In this context, Jesus is being crucified. He's thirsty. They offer him something and it's bitter. And it says he was unwilling to drink it. That was symbolic. That was in his heart. It didn't just represent this natural stuff. It represented him refusing to get bitter about what had been done to him, which was maybe his final thing that he went through, test or whatever, difficulty, opportunity for offense, is that the things that have been done to him could have easily piled up, and when he was given an opportunity to get bitter about it, he chose not to. He says he was unwilling to drink that stuff. I'm not gonna get bitter regardless of what's been done to me. And you know what? That drink is offered to every single one of us, sometimes daily, sometimes weekly or monthly, several times a year for certain. You are offered the opportunity to drink bitterness based on offenses, based on mistreatment, whatever it is. You can drink that. I have a very, very close friend of mine. He's now with the Lord. Before he met the Lord, his neighbor offended him one time. And it was a small thing, but his neighbor offended him. And for the rest of this guy's life, till his very end, he refused to speak to his neighbor, talk to his neighbor, have anything to do with him at all because of the smallest thing. He certainly was carrying a bitterness. One thing done wrong and just wrote him off. Oof. Never gonna talk to him again. Ignore him. See him in the yard and just completely ignore him. He drank that. Then he got freed at the end. But we can be offered the very same thing whenever there's a perceived offense or it's real or a real mistreatment. The enemy comes around with his cup. Says, go ahead, just drink a little of this. Go ahead and just satisfy yourself a little bit with this. And that thing is a poison. Bitterness is a poison. Jesus was unwilling to drink it, but he was willing to forgive entirely those who were crucifying him. That's what he was willing to do, to forgive. In fact, it says in Luke 23, 34, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. He was unwilling to drink the bitterness, but he was willing to forgive them, saying they don't even know what they're doing. They're ramming nails through his hands. And he says, Father, through some of his last breaths, you know, he had to stand up on that nail that was through his feet to breathe. I can't imagine that pain. Those same nerves that run, you know, your funny bone stuff. When you hit that thing, it's not so funny. Those same type of nerves run down through there. Those nails went through that nerve. That kind of pain and agony, he's up there. He's got to stand on that for every breath. And he uses those breaths to say, forgive. Stands up on that nail. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Wow. Incredible. Stephen, a little while after Jesus is resurrected, and Stephen catches fire. He's a deacon. It's a whole other story. He's serving tables. He says, I'm filled with the Spirit. And he starts going and healing and miracles, signs and wonders through Stephen. He gives an opportunity to preach the gospel in front of the Sanhedrin. They get upset. Their faces get distorted. Stephen sees Jesus stand up. He sees the heavens open and sees Jesus stand up at the throne from his seat, from his preaching of the gospel. They take him out and they start hurling rocks at him, at his head, at his body. He's got rocks coming at him out of anger. And Stephen says, Lord, his last breath, his last sentence, do not hold this sin against them. Do not hold this sin against them. Stones being thrown at him. And he says, Lord, don't hold this sin against them. Basically what Jesus had said, forgive them. Don't even hold this sin against them. He wasn't praying, Lord, help me, give me strength to make it through this. He used his prayer to pray for them who were throwing the stones. Incredible. I've realized through life, and I've been bitter before. I've been bitter for days at a time. I've had bitterness that has lingered in me when I didn't even know it. I've had to deal with this. We all have to deal with this. Sometimes you know it, sometimes you don't. But where we know, where there's opportunity to get offended, we need to take a shower quickly. We need to make sure that stuff doesn't stick to me, because bitterness will keep us from fulfilling our calling and destiny. It will. It's that dangerous of a poison. It is really a poison that is intended, if you drink it, to keep you from going all the way through and doing what God has called you to do. It will derail and distract. It will cause you to go a different direction. It will cause you to be repelled from the place where you're supposed to be. And you find yourself in a place you're not supposed to be. Bitterness does those kind of things. Bitter people don't release heaven. They miss out on the very best. Preacher that I got a chance to meet named Dudley Hall. If you ever heard Dudley preach, he's really funny. Really great guy. He said this. He said, bitterness is like eating poison, hoping that the other person gets sick. It's a good picture of bitterness. It's like eating poison, yet inside you're hoping the person that did something to you is the one that gets sick. But you're the one that gets sick. You're the one that gets off track on the inside. We want to be these kind of people, because Jesus not only was sin nailed to the cross because he was nailed there and he carried the sin for us, but every one of our excuses for forgiving was nailed there too. Every single one of our excuses, every single one of our reasons, He carried those two and he nailed those were nailed to the cross too. So that I don't have an excuse, I don't have a reason that I can withhold or drink that stuff and feel good about it, because it's not gonna be good. You know, one of the most difficult things through our lives is letting go of our rights. As a believer, now as an American, we have a lot of great rights. I'm thankful for the Bill of Rights, for our Constitution. You have a right to bear arms. You have the right for a speedy trial. You have a right for due process. All those things are righteous, good things. But as a believer living in America, though I have a right to certain things, Jesus said, if anyone wants to come after me, here's what you have to do. You have to die to yourselves daily, every day. Not once, not, well, I did that 10 years ago. Doesn't work that way in the kingdom. In the kingdom, Jesus said, if anybody wants to follow me, pursue me, come after me, live like me, you die to yourselves, you die to your right. You know, we could have our own Bill of Rights, personally. My right to be heard, my right to not be offended, my right to be treated perfectly by everybody, my right to be fully understood by what I say. All those rights, guess what? We get an opportunity to die to every day. And if we don't, then the enemy's there with his drink bottle. Because when our rights aren't met in that way, we have an opportunity to get offended. Then we have an opportunity to drink bitterness. And that bitterness is that poison that wants to take us off track. The kingdom is so different. We get to lose our right to be offended. In fact, I think that when someone cuts you off in traffic, it's an opportunity to grow in losing your rights. It's an opportunity to grow and become more like Jesus, to smile at them when they do it. To not allow that to do something on the inside of me when someone falsely accuses. There is, as Jesus is in me and all things become new, he's given me a new heart and a new mind. He's given me new ways to see and a new faith. Then the things that happen to me should come through a different lens. And I want to grow in this ability to smile at offenses, to not take them personally, to not get offended, to refuse to drink the offense or the bitterness. And we get opportunities to be tested in this all the time, right? You do, because you're not gonna get treated perfectly, and you're not gonna treat people perfectly either. So we need that grace both ways. Total forgiveness is the way that you and I want to live. It's what Jesus put us here for, and it's what he's watching. He's watching to see how you and I are responding to places where we have an opportunity to carry offense. It's part of the test for the next age. Are we the kind of people that will forgive much like Stephen did and like Jesus has done, since he's empowered us to live like him? He's watching to see. Or do we carry these things, these weights, these burdens? I found that most of inner healing and inner healing ministry has to do with forgiving people. It's letting go of things that have happened to you. Not all of it, but much of it. It's how I get free on the inside. The bitterness that I drink becomes a weight on the inside, becomes a hindrance, becomes a chain, becomes a prison. Matthew 24, 9 through 10 says, this is Jesus speaking, then they will deliver you to tribulation and they will kill you. That's great news, huh? This is Jesus speaking. They will deliver you to tribulation, they will kill you. He's speaking of the end times. And you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Now, we've not come to this point yet. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. He's giving us a glimpse of the future that you and I probably are not far from. That's why, for one reason, we want to get good at this right now. We want to pass the tests during life right now, because I believe there will be a point, if it's not you and I, maybe it's our children's lives, where we could be hated by all nations because of the name of Jesus. You can see some of that growing in around the world. We're not supposed to be alarmed by that, but actually realizing, okay, that's gonna happen, that's okay. You look at the first century believers, man, they're like, okay. They just forgave. They willingly gave their lives. They weren't fighting for their rights. They were willing to die, knowing that God is their defender and justifier and the one who will provide justice in the end. If there's a supernatural tool that we need other than love, I'm gonna say it's forgiveness that you and I need every day. Sometimes it's with our spouses, right? Our kids, our parents, family. Sometimes it's those that we work with. Sometimes it's people at church. All those kind of things, the Lord is inviting us to die every day on the inside and forgive freely. Forgive freely. Dole out forgiveness wherever we go. Melissa Helser was here several weeks ago sharing her story. If you were here, you remember that. She shared the story where I was talking about this very same type of topic, and she was in the meeting. She was 17, and the Holy Spirit just spoke to her and said, you need to stand up. This is you. And she said, I can't think of a thing where I'm bitter, where I haven't forgiven. But she stood up anyway. She had an encounter with God that night that was supernatural. And she was healed of her arthritis, which she was taking very strong medication to just stand, to move at all, because it would lock down all of her joints. Her arthritis at that moment was tied to some bitterness that she had. It's not the case for everybody, but it was for her. And once she let that thing go, she received healing. Sometimes those places of bitterness can become a poison that can be a hindrance for us in our physical body as well, not just in the spirit, not just in our soul. Sometimes it affects our natural body as well. I remember I had a student when I was leading a Bible school. He was about 6'2", 220, from another country. He came to my office one day, barged in. He was so full of anger, it was like looking at a demon. He was so full of anger, he stood about this far away from me with his fists clenched, shaking, and he was so angry, it felt as though my life were in danger. At the same time, I had this inner knowing that he can't do anything to me. It was a weird thing, a good thing. And I said, you need to leave my office and come back in about 4 hours. That's just what I said, and I had some other people there when he came back. And we met with him and started asking him questions, and this anger just overtook him. We started to pray. He hit the deck. The room we were in was carpeted like this, and he started to roll like a crocodile death roll all across the room, back and forth, and he was like growling, tearing the skin off of his knuckles from the carpet. Anger overtook him, and all was had to do with the way his dad had treated him harshly as a young boy. And I'd represented, in some ways, a fatherly person in his life of authority, and that anger came out of me too. And he was, until we talked, he would roll like crazy, and he'd stop right in front of my leg. Then he'd roll the other way. Over and over, we prayed, and then all of a sudden, it stopped. He began to weep, and he starts saying, I forgive you, Dad. I forgive you. Demon leaves. He gets set free by forgiving. I don't know the tortures he went through with his dad. I don't know those details. What I know is a guy who was bound with anger got free when he forgave. As he forgave, he was freed. He stood up. It was, I would say, one of the more stark contrasts that I've ever seen in a person was that day with him. Crying, forgave, gets onto his knees. He looks up at me with these eyes that were loving, tear-filled, smile on his face. Forgiveness is powerful. And sometimes it's a choice, not a feeling. Sometimes you just do it. Let me read a little bit or tell you a little about a couple of people who are a couple of my heroes. One of them is Frederick Douglass, statesman, He was the first African-American vice presidential candidate. He was born as a slave. Never got to meet his parents. Imagine that. Never got to meet his parents. Pulled away from his mom. Raised in this house over here, then moved to this place. He watched horrific things happen to people. Horrible beatings. I was reading, you just can't hardly handle the things that he saw, that he experienced as a young boy, as a slave in our country, not that long ago. He taught himself really to read, to write. He would read the scriptures. He became a believer, which is amazing to me under those conditions. He escaped. After he found his freedom, wasn't a slave any longer, he gets convicted by the Holy Spirit for unforgiveness toward the slave master back in Maryland. Imagine that for a second, okay? Just for a moment. All that he went through, and the Holy Spirit convicting him of the poison in his heart. Yes, he had been mistreated horribly. You would think maybe he could hang on to some of that. Not as a kingdom person. We can't, none of us. No one can. Here's what Frederick Douglass does. That conviction, he writes his slave master, his former slave master, a letter. Here's some of the words that he wrote. He said to him, "I entertain no malice," I'm not gonna read the whole thing, "I entertain no malice toward you personally. There's no roof under which you would be more safe than mine. And there's nothing in my house which you might need for your comfort, which I would not readily grant you. Indeed, I should esteem it a privilege to set you an example as to how mankind ought to treat one another." He invites his slave master, his former slave master, to his home to feed him, to care for him. That is forgiveness. That's action with forgiveness. That's beautiful. Another hero of mine, Corrie Ten Boom. You all probably know her story. Lived in the early 1900s. Was a watchmaker by trade. First one ever in the Netherlands. Her father was one, her grandfather was one. The Germans come in. They start taking the Jews away. She just has in her heart, we've got to hide these Jews. They build a wall. They hide six at a time. They hid and rescued, saved over 800 Jews. With her life at risk, she gets caught, thrown in prison, her whole family, her father, her sister dies in prison, her dad dies in prison or concentration camp, mistreated horribly. And then through an administrative mistake, error, no one really knows, she got released. A week before everyone her age died in that concentration camp, were killed. Week before that, she gets released. She then, as a free person, World War II is over. She's preaching in churches, sharing her story. She gets done speaking one day, steps off the stage, and there's a man, and she recognizes him. It's one of the prison guards. One of the first prison guards that she saw when they first went to the concentration camp, made them strip off their clothes. She sees this guy and with a smile comes up to her and holds out his hand to shake her hand. Here's in her own words. She said, "And still I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will. And the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me. I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling." And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder. It raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. "I forgive you, brother," I cried, "with all my heart." Wow. Sometimes you have to just thrust out your hand. and ask Jesus for help to forgive someone who has done us wrong. One of the largest, I would say, or one of the barometers, indicators of if I've forgiven is if the person who's done me wrong is doing well. How do I feel about that? If I don't get excited, if I can't be happy for them when they're doing well, if they're getting blessed, if they're getting promoted, then there's still something wrong inside of me. Because if I see that God meant it for good regardless of how I was treated and I've forgiven and I haven't drank the bitterness, then I'm gonna be happy in my heart for them when they do well. It's like this prison guard had met the Lord, had been forgiven, and was there to make things right or to greet this person. She wasn't at first happy about that and had to take action, really, to extend her hand, pray, ask God for help, and he helped her. Matthew 6, verse 12, Jesus says this, and forgive us our debts. He's teaching them how to pray. You know the Lord's Prayer there. Let's read part of this. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. As we've forgiven our debtors, those who owe us something. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Then there's verse 14, where he expounds upon one portion of the prayer he just taught them to pray. And he says this, for if you forgive others their transgressions, he focuses on forgiveness here, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But, verse 15, if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. There is a kingdom dynamic here that is so real that keeps us from being forgiven personally based upon us holding back forgiveness for others. That's why we're bound if we don't forgive. Because once we forgive, we're forgiven by him too for anything we've done. Oh, it's a shower of the soul that is incredible all of the way. Let me read this too. Matthew 18, verse 21, Jesus is speaking again here in a moment. It says, then Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how many times may my brother sin against me? Not just a person or an unbeliever. How many times shall my brother sin against me and I have to forgive him and let it go? I'm gonna read this, this is in the Amplified. As many as up to seven times. So Jesus has been talking about forgiveness. Peter maybe was thinking about a situation, perhaps. Maybe he's with one of the other disciples. So he comes to Jesus. How many times do I have to forgive my brother? Up to seven? I mean, that'd be a stretch. Do I have to do it seven times? Jesus answered in verse 22, I tell you, not up to seven, but 70 times seven, 490 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a human king who wished to settle accounts with his attendants. Verse 24, when he began the accounting, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, which equals around $10 million, a lot. And because he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children and everything that he possessed and payment to be made. So the attendant fell on his knees, begging him, have patience with me and I will pay you everything. Verse 27, and his master's heart was moved with compassion and he released him and forgave him, canceling the debt. But the same attendant, as he went out, found one of his fellow attendants who owed him 100 denarii, about $20. Been forgiven 10 million, someone owes him 20 bucks, equivalent. And he caught him by the throat and said, pay what you owe. Verse 29, so his fellow attendant fell down, begged him earnestly, give me time and I will pay you off. But he was unwilling, there's that word again. He was unwilling to forgive. And he went out and had him put in prison till he should pay the debt. Verse 31, when his fellow attendants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. They went out and told everything that had taken place to their master. Then the master called him and said to him, you contemptible and wicked attendant, I forgave and canceled all that great debt of yours because you begged me. And should you not have had pity and mercy on your fellow attendant as I had pity and mercy on you? And in wrath, his master turned him over to the torturers, or the jailers, till he should pay all that he owed. So my heavenly Father, Jesus ends it, very similar to the end of the Lord's Prayer, so also my heavenly Father will deal with every one of you if you do not freely forgive your brother from your heart his offenses. I don't know if you've found this, but I've found that it is more difficult to forgive a fellow believer of things than it is someone who doesn't know God. Because someone who doesn't know God, you expect them to not do the right thing. You expect them to cheat and steal and do wrong things. But when it's someone who's a believer, someone who's a Christian, someone who's at church, someone that's in your family, and there's something that is offensive or wrong or it's a mistreatment, I'm telling you what, that one, maybe you haven't had this like I have, but I felt those seem to be harder. If it's a leader, if it's a Christian leader in your life, you feel like they know better. Oh man, I think can work on you. And those torturers that Jesus talked about, turn you over to the torturers, to the jailers until that's paid in full. That to me, at least in my experience, speaks of the tortures that happen internally in your mind and your heart if you don't forgive. It's the thoughts of what happened to you that go over and over and over and over and over and over, keep you up at night, maybe wake up in the middle of the night, there are dreams related to it sometimes, and you just think about what they did to me, what they did to me. They knew better. Why did they do that? What they did, that's called torture. And that is an indicator that I haven't forgiven. Because once you forgive, the torture stops. The torture stops on the inside. There's no place for the enemy to remind us of what's because we've let that go. We gave that away. We extended our hand. We asked him to help us. I found that time doesn't make things go away. One of the greatest lies of all time is that time heals all wounds. That is a crock. Time has never healed anything. When it comes to this kind of stuff, when it comes to the wounds of the soul, time isn't a healer. Neither is justice. I'm going to say that. Even if you get treated right, that doesn't heal it all the way. Neither does revenge. Revenge doesn't heal a thing. Here's the only thing, forgiveness. Forgiveness is what heals. Forgiveness is what releases and helps us. It's a supernatural power. And then let me share this last portion here. John chapter 20. Again, Jesus has been on the cross. He says, Father, forgive them. He doesn't drink the bitterness. He passes. He pays for all of our sin. He dies. He raises back to life. The disciples are afraid. We're next. We're gonna get killed. We're gonna die. They're hiding. Jesus walks through the wall, appears, shows them his wrists and his side to show them this is really me. But also, I think it was this. I think he's saying, see what's been done to me? Not only am I him, but yeah, they did this to me. And then he says this here. So it was when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. And as he said this, he showed them his hands, his side. And the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them. That seems a little odd. He just shows up. He's risen from the dead. They're afraid. Peace be with you. Okay, everybody. He walks around. He's doing that for every person. This is the scripture. He breathed on them, not close to them, on them. Their hair's going like this when Jesus, he's breathing on them. And he says to them while he's breathing on them, receive something. Open yourselves up to something. Receive the Holy Spirit, the one that he came to send. If, and then he says this verse, great one to underline. If you forgive the sins of any person, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. Jesus takes that moment at that time to talk about forgiveness. After he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. I have had times in my life where the offense, even though it was not Frederick Douglass, Corey Ten Boom level at all, but to me personally, it went deep. Things that have been done to me where I tried to forgive. I tried to extend my hand. I would say it sometimes to myself 10, 15 times a day. I forgive this person. I forgive them. I forgive them. I forgive them. I let go. I forgive them. And it's like, still there. You ever done that? You ever been in that spot? This is the remedy. Jesus breathes on them, says, receive the Holy Spirit, and then forgive. There's something of the power of the Holy Spirit that enables you and I to let go and to forgive when we can't on our own. And he's showing them, look what's been done to me. Receive him. He'll help you forgive. He also knew, Jesus knew that every one of them would be martyred, or almost every one of them, would be killed, would be tortured, would be imprisoned. And he's saying, regardless of what happens, forgive. Make sure that you forgive. And here's the Holy Spirit. He's going to help you. I have come to those moments when I couldn't do it, and I, like Corey Ten Boom, said, help me. Holy Spirit, I need your help to forgive this person. And he empowers that prayer and helps release that thing. Ugh, takes that bitter barnacle and gets it off. And sometimes we need his help. Jesus provides that. He empowers us to do that. The Holy Spirit is the comforter, the helper. And, you know, part of this reality of all of this has to do with you and I have mistreated other people at times, even though we didn't know it. Sometimes we did, and sometimes we didn't. The very thing that we need to do for others, we've done to others in the sense that we have. I've had, and I can tell you that because I've had many people in this church who have told me I've offended them. And many of them, I had no idea what I did. Some, just not even a memory, not once. And a lot of times it's expectations that there's placed on me. There's expectations that are placed on you that you should act a certain way or treat people a certain way. All those certain, you should do a certain thing. And if that's not done just that right, people can get offended. So we have those that we've done, but also have been done to us, all those things. We need to forgive, but we also have the Holy Spirit to help us forgive others. If you could just for a moment think about the person or people or group who you have forgiven in the past. And when you think about them winning the lottery today, how does that make you feel? Can you get excited for them? Or is there like, no, that's the last person that should be doing well because of what they've done for me? Then there's an indicator, whew, I need the Holy Spirit's help. I need to extend my forgiveness. I need to set free. Would you guys mind standing with me? And here's, again, why we're wanting to talk about this. It's because it's so important that you fulfill your purpose and calling. It's so important that you run your race all the way to the end, living like Jesus, living like Stephen, living like Joseph, living like Corey Ten Boom and Frederick Douglass, of not letting things stick or stay and releasing forgiveness, because we all have a lot to do, not only in this age, but in the age to come. And this is the training for it right here. And so I want to invite you, actually, if maybe you've tried to forgive someone and it's been difficult, or maybe it's almost impossible, feel like you can't, or if you recognize there's something on the inside of me that I have not forgiven that person. I've allowed that thing to linger and to stay. I have had some of that drink, and I want to get rid of it. I want to just open up the front here for you guys to just come down and do business with the Lord. So let me just invite you down now. If there's anybody you want to do this, you want to get freed. You want that shower in the Spirit, and you want to let go. You're going to leave today free. You're going to leave those doors completely free of bitterness toward anybody, completely free of unforgiveness toward someone. a group, could be the government, could be God. There are many, many, many people who carry around bitterness toward God, blaming him for what other people have done. We also have some ministry team members that are gonna be wandering around. They may pray with you or for you if you want them to. But let's just take a few minutes and let's just ask the Lord for help. And I wanna pray for you because he wants you free more than anybody. He's paid for it. So Father, here we are. And we've just been reading your word and seeing what you have done for us, what Jesus has done for us. And we thank you that you have not only nailed our sins to the cross, but also our excuses. And we thank you that you have given freely the power of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, enabling us to forgive those who have done us wrong, people who have done us harm, people who have ripped us off, people who have stolen, people who have mistreated, people who have let us down. And we don't want to carry this burden any longer. We don't want to carry this poison in us. We don't want to be a container of poison. We want to be a container of your Holy Spirit, of love, of forgiveness, of peace, of joy. So we're asking, along with all of these here, we're asking that you'd help even now. That you'd help even now. That this thing would be released, that this person who did us harm, whatever abuse, whatever torment, whatever egregious thing that was done, we say we forgive them. And I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to help. Let it go. Let it go and be free. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us release that forgiveness. And even a blessing to that person. Even a blessing to that person. And even a don't get them back, Jesus, to them. Lord, I ask that you do that right now inside of every heart, inside of every single person. We're emptying out, we're giving it away. We're choosing to forgive. We're letting go of our rights right now. We're dying to ourselves. We're letting go of our rights to be understood perfectly, to be treated perfectly, to be honored the way that we feel like we need to be honored. We're giving away our rights to be offended or not offended. We give all those away and invite your Holy Spirit to help, to heal, to cleanse, to make new. Feel free to stay here as long as you want to, as long as you need. Just make sure we leave here free.